Did you involve Joyce in those sorts of activities, like canning, that kind of thing?
Whenever she was around, she would. A lot of that work was done when she was, like, at school or had children play with her. She'd go to birthday parties. It was a big neighborhood. Mm-hmm. It was all homes there, and there was plenty of...
Who were your friends at that point?
Parents of children the same age, so we get acquainted, and the neighbors that, those that were friendly. They were all busy in business or taking care of children, that you couldn't get together too much. And one thing I didn't like in neighborhoods is this party get-together where you sold something in your house. And I kind of avoided those things. I avoided having them. Because to me it was taking advantage of my friends, you know. I was invited first from some of my friends. I'd go to them, but I wouldn't have them.
Were you involved in any other sort of groups not related to...
I always tried to go to school. I'd take things up. Well, in Hollywood, I took singing. Well, and then when I came to the Valley, I took writing, learning to...
Creative writing.
Also, as Joyce got a little older, I took a class in isometric drawing. Before that, it was, I can't even remember what it is.
Like blueprints?
Blueprints, yeah. That type of thing. Blueprint reading. It's called something else. But I took the isometric drawing, the blueprint reading I took, there was people from Lockheed and other places, and they were having trouble. They were draftsmen and engineers. And they were having trouble reading these things. And I could do it and have it done in 3 minutes, and it took them the whole 3 hours in class.
So what made you decide to take that sort of class?
Had a gift. Well, I thought I might go to work again, you know.
What sort of work?
I thought maybe I could get into Lockheed, into there. The one nice magic drawing, he was head of the class. And he told me that, I was not young enough for it. So he said, you can take it, but he said, you can't plan to work at Lockheed.
No. Was this a class offered through Lockheed?
He was employed at Lockheed, but he was teaching the class. But he was the supervisor, so that was okay. I'd take it anyway because I could go and apply for work. Well, I did. I went and applied at Lockheed, and I passed. And the last three I didn't do, but he was there, and he had. We put our names on it, but he had switched my paper with a young woman that got through the third one. And I heard her talking about it. She said, I only answered three. How could I be, you know? Well, I knew that I had three left, and I got her paper that was all this wrong, but they wouldn't show me the paper.
What was the job that you were applying for exactly?
It was something in layout, I believe.
Or planning, yeah. Something like that.
It was in there somewhere. So anyway, he was right. I wouldn't get a job there.
He was going to keep it together. Yeah. And there was no advantage that you gained because of your past time put in at Lockheed, since it was different work?
It wouldn't. See, if I didn't pass the test, I wouldn't get any place. So I didn't pass the test.
According to him.
Well, I didn't like it. I was angry about it, but I didn't go on. I should have gone on and fought it.
What year was that?
I think that was probably 1955 or something like that.
Did you think of going to any of the other...
No, I didn't know where they were too far away, most of them, and I didn't know of any in the valley, and I just didn't fight it. I just let it go. I didn't regret that I took it, because I could use this sort of thing in my work, too.
What made you decide at that point to try and look for work again in that industrial setting?
Well, it was time I had on my hands, you know. And I was always kind of ambitious. I wanted to earn or whatever. Good. But then learning the blueprint reading and learning to draw, I could draw out my plans ahead of time. Mm-hmm. I had thought one time that we might build a house. My husband wasn't for it, so we didn't do that. Mm-hmm. But it turns out that remodeling and getting the old places up and keeping them up seemed to be very profitable.
Now, between that point in about 55 and when you were finally separated and divorced in 61, what was your life like?
Well, it was kind of hectic because I started taking care of my grandson.
Oh, now, when did Joyce marry?
When she was 16.
Oh, so she married about
1956?
Six. Uh-huh. How did you feel about that?
Well, I didn't want her to get married, but she insisted on getting married. They had planned on, the man was 22. Mm-hmm. And we didn't have anything working between my husband and I, which this was the sort of thing I was afraid of all the time. Since she was around 8 years old, I realized it before that, but I pressured him at that time from then on. It didn't do any good.
I'm not sure I understand in terms of...
It was fine for him to discipline her if he loved her. Mm-hmm. That the things must go together. Mm-hmm. Well, when she got to be, before she was 16, he gave her a car. And right then, she had a lot of friends right away, you know. And it gave her a certain amount of independence, which she didn't need yet. So, she grew up fast.
What were your thoughts about her future before all this happened? What were your fantasies about what she might be?
Her teachers and this woman that was the head woman at the grade school said that her capabilities were unlimited, that she could really do anything she chose to do. And she was always a very good student.
Did you encourage her in any particular channels or avenues at that point?
She was writing on the school paper. She was writing for sports. She was it was more or less in writing, I believe. Mm-hmm. I don't know what she chose to do other than that. She turned out that she taught very well. She was very good at teaching. She never was a teacher, but they would, the teachers would have her take the class when they had to do something else. And even in law school, they had her teach. And in college, they had her teach.
How did you handle her getting married? Did she come to ask your permission or anything?
Well, they had planned on going to Mexico and getting married. And I was told this by when we got together at Aunt Berna's, and I didn't believe it. I mean, you know, this was ridiculous. So anyway, it came to that, came to the surface that they were wanted to get married, and I didn't want them to, and Ralph just ordered him out. So she went with her car, went over to his place then, and I called up and told her she had to come back. And then they wanted to get married, and his folks wanted him to get married, so the pressure was pretty heavy that way. And Ralph was no help, so we just let him get married. Mm-hmm. But she took training at a Catholic church for 6 months before they got married.
What's her training?
Catholic, because to become a Catholic.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he was Catholic?
Yeah. Uh-huh. And the priest didn't agree on things. She asked questions about the religion to the point where the priest said, don't ask her to join.
What, did she quit high school then when she got married?
She was supposed to go to high school. Right on, and there was the agreement that they wouldn't have any children and that she would go on to school. Mm-hmm. And this didn't happen. He was the kind that agreed to things and it was a lie. Mm-hmm. He'd just lie to get your way. And what, she what told me that too.
What did he do?
He was, at the time they were married, he was working as a in supervision and thrifty drugstore.
Mm. Now, you've been pretty close to her from the time she was born, practically.
Yeah.
How did that feel to you, having her leave?
Well, it was bad. The time that I got injured kind of separated us. I had cut my wrist. That was when I was younger. I had had my finger in the lawnmower.
When was that?
And that was when she was 13, I think. Well, that Ralph took advantage of things like that to say, he said, well, I suppose you're going to pretend that you can't do the dishes and this and that when you're, because of your injury. Well, it is hard to do the dishes with one hand because this was all wrapped up in a sling. So, he would do everything he could to drive the wedge between us, which was rotten, you know, in my opinion. So he annihilated her at that time, pretty much, and made me look like I was a dodo, you know. She didn't go along with all of it, but she was annihilated anyway. Then giving her the car made it also worse.
So there started to be increasing conflict between you and she then?
There wasn't the closeness. There wasn't a conflict, but there wasn't that closeness. She kind of withdrew, didn't talk, like he did.
That must have been pretty difficult for you then.
Yeah, it was.
How did you handle that?
Just trying, that was all. That was nothing else to do. I guess if I'd thought of it, we could have gone to a shrink or something, but, you know, I don't think I'd had any cooperation from either her or father then.
Did you have close friends at that time, women friends?
Well, they were busy and also going through pretty much the same sort of thing.
That's what I wondered, because very often, I just know in terms of my own relationship with my mother, those years for most young girls get to be very complicated relationships with mothers, and I wondered if you talked about that at all with your...
I went to a night class that everybody was having pretty much the same problems, and tried to overcome it that way, but I was not successful.
Mm. What happened then after she married and left home?
Well, she stayed home there for a little while until they bought a house, and they put that in his folks' name. His folks had it in their name and rented to them. And she had a baby right away. She didn't expect that, but she figured that other people didn't have them right away, so she wouldn't. So, being that young. And he was mean to her right off. She wouldn't tell me because she wanted to keep it from me.
Mm. Were you aware of it, though?
No, I didn't know. Mm-hmm. And, but it finally, when he found out she was pregnant, he threw her across the room. She didn't tell me that. Then he broke a lot of dishes in the kitchen. Floor was covered with broken dishes, because I came home and found out.
They were living at your...
Yeah, at that time, and then they bought a place and moved out.
Uh-huh, I see.
At the time, I said, well, I said, people can be angry and break dishes, you know. But I didn't know he'd thrown her across the room, and she never told me. As I wouldn't have allowed that. I was set out with young. Forget it. So that's the way it is when people keep things to themselves.
And then can you talk again about the incident with the child? What happened after
the
baby was born? How does she feel about having a baby then?
He was premature. He was 7 and a half. And he was, you know, his skin is thin. The doctor told her she'd have to take care of him, that she mustn't let anybody near him. Because he could get illness very easily. He was in the hospital, and they wouldn't even let her hold him, you know, and that hurt her if she wanted to hold him. They said that he might get sick and die if she did.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, she brought him home, and she could hardly stand to take care of him, because there was this skin you could see right through. It just made her sick, and she was very young. And if they'd allowed me to, I would have helped with it, you know, but I wasn't supposed to be allowed as far as I know. So, she got through that period with me. Oh, I don't know.
Well, and then it was developing into a healthy baby?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he evidently had... would survive, you know.
Uh-huh. And then what happened exactly?
Well, they moved out. They moved to their home. I can't remember if they were there. I don't think they lived there all during the pregnancy. No, they didn't. They had moved out before. And she came home to stay with me before he was born, because the doctor ordered her to bed. because she had had pain. She had pain around a 4 month period, and she probably would have lost it if doctor hadn't given her pills to take care of that. Then she came home to stay in bed so that I could take care of her. So when the baby came, she was home again for a while. And then they bought this house, and she went moved to that with the baby. And her husband didn't like the cat, so he hurt the cat. He had evidently taken the cat, trusted him, and he hurt it back, and so that she had the cat sent to the vet. It cost him quite a bit. Mm-hmm. He claimed that the cat had been hit with a car, and he told me that, and I said, no, I said, that cat's too fast. She would never have been hit with a car. Then Joyce admitted what happened. So that cat lived to be 18 years old.
And then what happened exactly with the child, and then you ended up taking care of
him? Well, she divorced him.
Do you want to talk about what happened with the abuse there?
I didn't see much. I did see one time he was jabbing the kids around the face. He wanted to prove that the kid was sucking its thumb and it ought to have the hands covered. So he took his thumb and he was jabbing around the mouth, and I told her about this, and I told him I would quit that. So anyway, it was things. Then there was a time he was sitting in that high chair, and Ronnie would come and slap him like that while he was eating. Mm-hmm. You know, while the child was eating. I can't remember.
After the incident of him.
Yeah, because the baby was only 5 months old. He wasn't, he was just setting up at that time.
And what happened there exactly?
When he was thrown?
Yeah, because you told me that before we'd started talking.
Oh, yeah. When she picked the baby up, then it was turned blue and was foaming bubbles out of the mouth, which really half almost dead, you know. But it came to, I don't know how long it was out. It seemed like it was a half hour. But I didn't know that this had happened, and she didn't.
Oh.
He had taken it and put it in a different room than they were, you know, and supposedly the baby quit crying. So we should have, I had company, and we should have called the doctor, called the hospital and had it taken in. But we didn't. And Laura was there, and she saw it too, and she said that he had abused it. Anyway, he and his friends took off then, and Joyce was alone with it, and we helped her with it.
And when was that?
That was on a Sunday. It was, you know, in the afternoon.
So he was never seen by a doctor or family?
Not for that.
So it wasn't for a while then that it became obvious that there was brain damage?
Yeah, the brain damage could partly be from being born, too, because they used instruments. And he was born premature, and he also spent time in the incubator. Mm-hmm. So who knows, you know.
Now, when did that start becoming evident?
He was learning and talking and everything, but then when she left Ronnie, I was working in Hollywood, and she came over to the place there and went to the neighbors, and the neighbors had her call me. And and she wanted to come home, she said, and could she? And I said, why, of course. I said, but I said, you stay over there until I come home, because I figured he might come after her. And so she stayed with the neighbor until I came home. I came back home. And I took care of her, and then Ronnie was showing up. She applied for divorce right away, and of course he was showing up. He wanted to take her back and stuff like that. So one time it developed after they had had a hearing in court, they had right away. He was going to take the baby. So he came over, and we wouldn't let him take the baby. And he was only supposed to see her when with another adult after this situation. He came in and visited, and Ralph was there. Ralph was supposed to be there. And so anyway, Ralph went out. He was having me watch because he wanted to find me doing something that wasn't right, so he could get his divorce. So he went out to call up to tell him not to watch because I was involved. And by the time he got back, Ronnie was there, and the whole he'd come back because he watched, you know, and took the baby, and he was going out the door, and I wouldn't let him go. I stood in his way, so he socked me, and my head went against the post. And I told Joyce to call the police, so she did. And I followed him to the car. Well, he wasn't going to get in that car with a baby unless I was. And I was screaming the whole time. I just wanted to scream enough to rouse the neighbors. Mm-hmm. So we had all the traffic stopped and all the neighbors out, and he didn't get away with the baby. Well, this affected the child. And he'd begin to talk up till that time, and he withdrew. And from then on, he hasn't been able to do anything.
So until, basically after this time when you went to try to go to work at Lockheed, your life then went back to sort of taking care of
the child again.
Child and Joyce again.
Actually, he was so frightened that when I was remodeling the apartment, he'd hang around my neck. Mm-hmm. I was hammering and stuff. And so he was just something I just had all the time.
And when was, how long did you take care of him?
Until he was about five. We moved out here, Joyce and I and the baby. This man, I knew him, and he bought the house. He wanted to invest, and so he wanted me to look with him so that he'd find something that I liked and wanted to live in. So I chose this, and he didn't think this far out was so good, but I said, no, he wanted to maybe buy near El Segundo. And I said, this is going to be better area than back there towards El Segundo, because it was just beginning to develop.